Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Kay Clark. I attend Upper Junior High, and I'll be reading you Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethsaida and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why are you untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead and found it just as he had told them, they were untying the colt. Its owner asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their colt on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their clothes on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyful to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes to the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in its highest." Some of the parents in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teachers, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they kept quiet, the stones will cry out." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Katie. Please be seated. For those that just heard this rendition, this is just a sampling of the tenebrae service that will be taking place. So if you enjoyed this small rendition, please come and hear this big cacophony of music that's going to be shared with us during the tenebrae service here at St. Paul's. And as requested, this is for the request that was made of me earlier.
Walk in the light, beautiful light. Somewhere the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our heart be acceptable to you, the one who is our rock, our salvation, our redeemer. Amen. Our hope is carried by Christ, but this Palm Sunday is a reflection of the road that we've journeyed over these many days. Jesus entered Jerusalem, and the one thing that continues to stand out is the fact that no one, not even the disciples, truly understood what was really taking place as Jesus enters the city. Jesus enters carrying the hope of the oppressed people as well as the conflicted nations, this conflicted nation who is patiently and eagerly awaiting a liberation or salvation like David, who would use their powers to seize authority over the oppression that they experienced. Prior to his arrival, people were aware of Jesus' power to heal as well as his teachings and his divine presence of the one who God gave to us, the one who God taught us, who gave us to teach us how to love and to share and to care and to serve each other. He offered people hope for a new way of living and experiencing a love and righteousness of God through his presence. Jesus enters this city, and he knew that this was the capital city of the Jews, a place where both the political and the religious powers came tenuously together to confront his prophetic voice. They perceived him as a threat, as a power and a threat to the religious and political landscape. Jesus came into the city. His reputation preceded him. And the consequences he was to share with his disciples on numerous occasions seemed to go over his head, over their head. They just didn't get it. After all the conversations Jesus had with the disciples, they still didn't really understand why Jesus was coming into the city, or where he was leading them, or for what purpose. Maybe the disciples and the crowds praised him and cheered him and celebrated his entry into the city, but they got so caught up in the celebration that their expectations became more important than what they needed. Their expectations was all about what they wanted rather than what they needed. Despite all this teaching, all this preaching, all this healing, and the many people that he had affected, as well as the disciples, they could not see, they could not hear, and they could not understand the hope that Jesus carried to the cross into the city. He wasn't doing this for their freedom. He was doing this for their liberation and their salvation from sin and death, in fulfillment of God's plan for him. As Jesus entered the city, most that were cheering, they weren't cheering for his ability for the kingdom. They were cheering because they wanted someone to free them, physically free them from oppression. They wanted a historic king. They wanted to see Jesus in the way they saw all historic leaders. They were looking for someone to come in to free them from their desperation in the historic way. They wanted to understand his power, but they wanted to be a violent and a forceful transition of power that they were used to. That's how the historic takeovers took place. They wanted someone who would come in and take over and take charge and free them from their suffering. But they couldn't see how Jesus was preparing them for this experience. They did not know and understand the fulfilling, transforming power of Christ. The transforming power for peace and love and salvation and redemption and forgiveness. That was what they divinely needed rather than what they historically wanted. You see, fulfilling a want describes a desire to have something as a result of being deprived of something, whether it's real or perceived. But fulfilling a need addresses that which is lacking in your life. Fulfilling a need supplies relief from a burden or an obligation in a way that is permanent. See, sometimes what we want is always temporary. And sometimes we, like these disciples, we don't always see what we need. We come on this journey over 40 days as we enter into the city with Jesus. Sometimes it's all about what we want rather than what we need. The historic and the traditional expectations were recognized by the powers to be at the time. They felt the threat. They didn't understand why Jesus was there other than the fact that they felt intimidated. He came in with great fanfare and adulation and honor, just like the historic rulers of old. But that's where the similarities end. Jesus entered the city dressed in no regal trappings. He did not come into the city riding on a conqueror's horse, or a white horse, or a regal battle-tested horse, symbolizing the commanding strength or domination of power. Jesus rides in on a donkey, a beast of burden, an animal of unassuming strength and laborious service, which also possesses endurance and patience. Everything Jesus has done, everything he's preached, everything he's taught, every miracle he's performed was preparing him and others for this day. When he would enter the seat of power and proclaim God's plan for redemption and salvation, not just for the city, but for all humanity and all creation. Jesus approached the city with a plan. So I ask you, as we approach the city today, this Sunday, like Jesus, do we have a plan? Sometimes we come through this Lenten season and we have good intentions. We make superficial changes and we try to embrace real change in our lives. But sometimes we make them without spiritual intention. Sometimes we unwittingly get distracted by the excitement of religious programming rather than renewing our strength through religious practices. Sometimes we're just like the people who are sitting at the gates and standing at the gates heralding Christ. Sometimes we do the same thing. We herald Christ, but we call on Christ for what we want rather than what we need. Sometimes we journey through this Lenten season and we're on automatic pilot. We know it's 40 days and we know these 40 days will be a celebration of the death and the resurrection of Christ. But we must ask ourselves some very important questions. When we receive our ashes at the beginning of Lent, until now, have we listened to Jesus? Have we given ourselves over these days for intentional renewal and growth through the transforming power of Christ in our lives? Did we or have we over these days of Lent made an effort to change in ways that honors the sacrifice that God has made for us through Jesus Christ? Or do we also find ourselves cheering at the gates of this Easter, like the disciples, misunderstanding our lives and our hope, spending more time thinking about what we want rather than what we need? What we want is temporary, but what we need is transformative. We come to the gates of our Jerusalem hearts. Are we willing to transform our lives so that we can be the spirit and the truth of Christ to the world? Now, you know, when they said spirit and truth, I hear that so often. Don't you hear that a lot? Spirit and truth. We worship in spirit and truth. What exactly does spirit and truth mean? What does it mean? My son asked me, Dad, what do they mean when they say spirit and truth? Well, you see, spirit is the attitude. The attitude that we have in our love and expectations of Christ for our lives. Spirit is how we live out our life in Christ in the world. The actions. You know, the spirit is the way we carry ourselves, our countenance. But the truth is, how do we actually put it to work? How do we put our faith to work? How does it manifest itself in real ways? So we are asked to live our lives in Christ in spirit and in truth by attitude and action. As Jesus carries our hopes to the cross, we must remember that the sacrifice continues to be made. It continues to be made for us. He carries our hope for salvation and peace and forgiveness, not because of the grandness of God, not because it's just a demand or sacrifice. No, it's not. God brings us Jesus Christ so that we will learn how to give. It will enable us to serve. It will enable us to share God's will for the world. Jesus goes to the cross for our sins, and God offers us an opportunity to experience this transforming power in Christ. This transforming power that we need. Again, we have a tough time understanding the difference between what we want and what we need. In these troubling days, in these days where we go into the city of our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and we seek solutions. We need to seek those solutions in Christ. The healing balm, the peace, and the transformation that only God can give us through Jesus Christ. As we walk through this season of Lent, we are reminded of our need for God. We need to be reminded not only of God's faithfulness, but also of our dependence on God. Yet sometimes, as we stand at those gates of Easter, we feel alone. We feel sometimes that we are facing these struggles and God is absent. But as Jesus walks into the city to face the sudden death, he's reminding us that God is alive. We ask, where is God? Well, God is with us. God is for us. In our longing, we know that God is our constant companion, even in the midst of our anguish. Even when we turn our backs on God, God never turns his back on us. Through Jesus Christ, he offers us an opportunity to change the way we live our lives. To come into the city with open hearts, open minds, and a spirit that will transform not just ourselves, but all those who come before us and see us as the light of Christ. Hope in God, we shall ever praise him. Our help comes from God. Our souls long for the healing, the peace, and the comfort from the Lord. The Lord is our rock in distress. And because we know in truth that the time is coming when we will praise the Lord and celebrate his resurrection, we must also praise the hope that God gives us through Christ. We must not just stand at the gates, but we must walk this path with Christ. In 40 days, we seek to be transformed. This transformation is not temporary, but we have to let go and let God, and know that God holds our hopes with him at the cross. All we need to do is hold on to our faithfulness. Hold on to our faithfulness and that hope. So that in all things that we do, in the many ways that we share our lives, God will be glorified through Jesus Christ as we become this season the light of Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, everything you have done, every person you have healed, every lesson that you've preached, and every miracle you performed was preparing us for this day. When we enter the city with you, open our hearts, our minds, that we may proclaim your greatness, your goodness, and your redemption and salvation, not just for us, but for all humankind and creation. This we ask in your name. Amen.